Judge Jim's Big Debate on Trax FM.
Many thanks, JJ.
No, I am not ginger.
What are you talking about?
I am not ginger, and I am getting thin at the top.
But you know what they say about men getting thin at the top? That's right. Men get thin at the top. I don't know what they say, really. apparently they're virile. I gave that up years ago. Anyways, welcome to Judge Jim's Big... I haven't, actually. Welcome to Judge Jim's Big Debate. We're live, we're happening. Without further ado, take it away, Judge.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. I think the word you might be looking for is viral, other than virile. But, no, there's a joke in there somewhere. You are right. Yes, good evening, listeners. You're tuned in to Judge Jim's Big Debate on Trax FM, the only international, worldwide, hello Donald, hope you're listening, debate show on the planet. Here we are again. I believe there's 500,000 of you out there tuned in, probably more, probably less, but I'd say probably more, looking at the state of affairs in the world today. So good evening, good afternoon, and good morning to all of you. Joining us in the chat room thus far this evening is Chaz Summers, 2017. Hello, Chaz. I hope you had a super duper holiday. I loved all the pictures. Fantastic stuff. JJ the DJ, he was up. You just heard him. Thank you, JJ. Got me Wellington boots on. And then, of course, there's Rendell from Rendell Radio. He's here in the chat room. He's probably got one eye on the football, I think. There's some footy talk or something earlier. Maybe it's something to do with BDSM, I don't know. Anyway, look, turning to world events this evening, I've got the usual periodicals in front of me. I've got The Guardian from today, The Times from today, and of course Private Eye. And there's several economic warnings going on in the UK that's coming as a result of the country, the UK's decision in June to come out of the European Union, that inflation is set to rise. Now, several articles about this in all the newspapers. Now, turning to, let's have a quick look at the old agenda. We'll get on to that a bit later on. You've got a few things tonight. We'll be talking about our darling Donald in Washington over there on his latest crisis that's set to hit him. Well, the other day it was, when his national security advisor resigned. Oh, sod it, we'll talk about that now, won't we? There we go. Yeah, Mike Flynn, Donald Trump's national security advisor, indeed resigned. It's pretty much unheard of. It's more of a wow. I think The Guardian described it today in its commentary pages. On page 28, The Guardian has said Michael Flynn's resignation was not a whoops, but a wow. The White House National Security Advisor is one of the supremely important roles in any US administration. The advisor is the key voice in the Oval Office on international affairs. Presidents have often given the job to big figures, among whom Henry Kissinger was the biggest. Typically, a national security advisor stays the course for the whole four-year term at the president's side, thinking and talking in lockstep with the boss. None until now have had the job for less than a month, as Michael Flynn did before resigning on Monday night. Make no mistake, this is not much. This is not some minor scratch to the Trump administration's paintwork. It's a head-on crash affecting its whole intended direction of travel and its priorities. I mean, I've spent a large part of the day reading up on what's going on over there, it would seem that President Trump seems to have some disregard over national security of his country, after giving the impression in his election campaign that he is a man of iron will, with the security of his nation at the forefront of his mind all the time. But it's interesting to see that he uses his resort to entertain foreign leaders that he owns in Florida. I'll just get the name for it. It's a peculiar name. It's in Florida. Mar-a-Lago. Mar-a-Lago. And he's been entertaining down there this week the Japanese Prime Minister. Apparently, at the time that they were meeting, this is all filmed and whatnot. It kind of goes back to his reality TV days. North Korea test fired a rocket or a missile into the Pacific Ocean off of Japan, and of course, then all panic breaks loose, and you can see Donald Trump straight on his mobile phone. I mean, he's had one warning from the head of the CIA saying, you know, you can't tweet out information on Twitter about what's been going on in terms of military intelligence and what have you. And there he is being seen on TV whilst the Prime Minister of Japan has a huddle with his advisors and ministers and whatnot that are with him at Donald Trump's resort in Florida. So he has this kind of disregard for national security of the US at the moment, and he just doesn't seem to want to get it. But getting back to Mike Flynn, his advisor, very interesting. In the Times, on page 28, they were talking and making comment and reporting on what's been going on. It says, President Trump faces an exhaustive congressional investigation into the links to Russia after his national security advisor resigned amid suspicions that he had become vulnerable to blackmail by the Kremlin. Now, every piece of journalistic source that I read concerning this, that, you know, no matter where, whatever newspaper it is, sort of brush something. They don't, well, they can't, but they don't go into what they really are thinking. You've got to read between the lines on this particular thing. And I think that what they're suggesting, I'll read a bit more to you. Mike Flynn stepped down after it emerged that Mr. Trump had been informed last month that his discussions with the Russian ambassador, ambassador leaked US intelligence intercepts showed that Mr. Flynn had misled senior White House staff, including Mike Pence, the vice president, over whether he had discussed sanctions against Moscow during a phone call with Sergei Kislyak, the Russian ambassador to the US, in December. And that's before Trump was president or sworn in. He won the election, sure, but you don't actually take office until you're sworn in January. Roy Blunt, a Republican member of the Senate Intelligence Committee, said that Mr. Flynn would be called to give evidence as part of an exhaustive investigation that would centre on the question of what the president had known and when. The inquiry may also cover an unverified dossier compiled by the former MI6 agent, which alleged that the Kremlin held compromising material on Mr. Trump. US counterintelligence is believed to be investigating associates of Mr. Trump for Kremlin ties. So it's like that the journalists know something, but of course they can't say anything. I suspect, actually I should take the time to have a look at it. Maybe I could do that for next week's show. We go on the internet and have a look and see what is suggested on some sites there. So, very interesting times. I mean, there's even newspapers do these cartoons, these satirical cartoons, and the Times has got a picture here somewhere. Oh, well, bear with me. This is live radio after all. It's somewhere in here. It's Mr. Trump sat at his desk. There it is. Got it. On the comments on page 25. He sat at his desk writing out executive orders. And it says there's a speech bubble, no ties to Russia, and there's a picture of a portrait of Vladimir Putin, and they're connected by the same red tie. Quite funny, I thought. But there's something going on there, listeners, that they're not quite letting us know the full story on. It's been suggested, where I've read, in certain quarters that it involves prostitutes, and that's why Mr. Putin, I think it was about 3 weeks ago, made a remark about Russian prostitutes are the best in the world. So interesting. It will break. And I also saw today in the newspapers, I'll have to consult someone that revolves in these quarters, but they're currently in Belgium at the moment. Paddy Power is giving, I will find it, it's here somewhere, should have wrote it down, of course. Paddy Power is giving odds on something to do with Donald Trump, so it might well be worth having a run down the bookmakers and having a tenner on what's going on, if I can bloody find it, that is. But oh, here it is. Yeah, it's got it. This is a legitimate advert on page 30 of today's Times newspaper. It says Russia, Trump to be officially accused of Russian collusion, 5-1. Now you can take a bet on Donald Trump being officially accused of Russian collusion at the bookmakers. So what's going on? This is unbelievable. We want to hear from you. What do you think out there? What was being spoken about between Mike Flynn and the Russian ambassadors that day before? Well, not that day, but before they took office. What is going on? What's your thoughts? What have you seen? What have you read? Why would Vladimir Putin say in response to this 3-4 weeks ago, Russian prostitutes are the best? Do let us know here on The Big Debate. You can tweet in if you're out and about and whatnot. So hang on, let me just get my Twitter page up. Bear with me. Here it is. You can tweet in at this is Jim Tracks FM. Come and find us. Give us your thoughts on Donald Trump and Mike Flynn. Why has Mike Flynn really resigned? What was the body of that conversation between him and the Russians before they took office? Do you think that the Russians have something on Donald Trump that could be of public interest? You're listening, ladies and gentlemen out there, to Judge Jim's Big Debate only on Tracks FM. Thank you, David.
Judge Jim's Big Debate on Tracks FM.
David Joseph and You Can't Hide Your Love. The Nutcase will be back at 10, and then the Nutcase is back next Wednesday at 10. So, that's JJ the DJ. And then the Nutcase is back on Sunday, the Nutcase Twilight Twinkle Show. So we've got about 8 hours of Nutcase throughout the week. Nice one, JJ. And thank you very much for a great set. Judge, take it away.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Sounds like we've got a bit of a nut house on our hands. Bedlam, to say the least, and everyone's barking. But everyone, look, they're talking of which, let's get in the trend. Donald Trump, we were talking earlier about before the music break. It's like that the media and the press are brushing with something here. They're not quite at the moment going as far as suggesting anything untoward has happened, but there seems to be a flavour or something in the air that Donald Trump has some scandal on him, and the Russians know about it. Very, very interesting. And I'll go more in another direction in a minute. I just want to read this out to you, especially if you're listening in the US, and especially if you're have an interest in this. Perhaps you voted for him, perhaps you did not, but we want your views here on Tracks FM. We want to hear from you. If you're in the US and tuned in, we want to know and hear from you. The easiest way to get your views across to us is on my Twitter page, and that is at This Is Jim Tracks FM, and that's a Tracks with an X. So don't get confused. You'll find me. I'm on there. I'm wearing a rather dapper ivory dinner jacket, so you'll find me on there. We want to know what you think about Mike Flynn's resignation, because there's something afoot here. The Guardian again goes into some detail, and just put that back. It says Michael Flynn resigned as National Security Advisor because of his contacts with the Russian ambassador to Washington and his attempts to cover up the nature of those contacts. See, again, you see what I'm trying to say? I know I keep going on about it, but there's a brush here with something that they can't go on to say, but there's something being suggested here, but in a smart kind of way. But his resignation is unlikely to mark the end of the Trump administration's crisis of legitimacy over its relationship with Moscow. It is likely to be the beginning. That is really, really interesting. Flynn is the third Trump acolyte forced out over the question of links to the government of Vladimir Putin. Paul Manafort was the former campaign manager, and Carter Page, a businessman Trump described as an advisor, both left last summer after reports surfaced about their contacts with the Kremlin. The question of the true nature of the relationship between the president and Putin hung over his campaign and now over his presidency. Many administrations have rocky starts, but there's never been a case of a national security advisor being forced to leave in less than a month. It has broken through the aura of impunity around Trump and emboldened critics demanding to know what the president knew and when. It goes on to quote, Trump may think Flynn is the sacrificed lamb, but the reality is that he is the first domino. Interesting stuff. Oh dear, I've got a ringing sound in my head. As to what's coming up here on the big debate and with Donald Trump, what is it the Russians have got on him? It will prove interesting. My money's on Private Eye coming out with something pretty soon, because a scandal is certainly in the wind. What do you think it could be? Do you think drugs, women, prostitution? We want to hear from you, especially if you're in the US. He's dicing with your security. He's dicing with NATO's security. You're listening to Judge Jim's Big Debate. We want to hear from you. So it's back over to you in the studio, Dave.
Contact Judge Jim's Big Debate on Skype, Tracks Big Debate. Twitter, this is Jim Trax FM. Email thebigdebate@traxfm.org. Join the Trax FM chat room, www.traxfm.org. Trax FM, the original 103.3 Pirates.
You're unbelievable.
Sound of EMF and unbelievable. You're listening to Judge Jim's debate. Listen, I actually agree. I think the resignation of Trump's security advisor, is a lot bigger than what it is. I really do. I don't think the bookies get it wrong often. I know many people that gamble that get it wrong, but I don't see many bookies that get it wrong. Lot to think about there. Think about it. Take it away, Judge.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. It's just it's a shame when you need him, our man in the field is out of the country. Otherwise, we could probably have linked up and got an opinion from him. But be warned, he is the type of person that does gamble and normally loses. I've physically seen it. Make it a good dart player, anyway. Yeah, look, staying with the Donald Trump thing, it gives you an idea from private eye on money and numbers and things like that. 2 weeks, Donald Trump repeatedly criticised Barack Obama for his holidays managed in a job before going on holiday. About that, eh? $3 million is the estimated cost to the public of security and personnel for his three-night stay at his own holiday resort, Mar-a-Lago, where he continues to stay. It says $200,000 is the cost of membership applications to Mar-a-Lago, which has been raised by 100% since Trump was elected president. Incredible, isn't it? Look, those are just some numbers for you. I might have some more later on in the show, but you know what it's like, and I'm sure you DJs out there will concur. You know where the time goes sometimes, do you? Right, okay, well look, this is, you know, before the last two music breaks, I said about US security being compromised and whatnot, and not just US security, but NATO as well, and all the alliance allied nations to the US. I mean, if I was the British government, I think I'd have somewhat of a reservation of passing any intelligence on to that administration, because they just simply blurt it out and let the cat out of the bag. So I'd have a real difficulty. Remember, the US is one of the, I think it's five eyes in the sky. Britain is one of them as well, because of our massive financial investment in listening. Anyway, look, Moscow breaches arms treaty with new missile. Now, this is the sort of thing I'm driving at now. Russia was accused yesterday of deploying a new type of cruise missile in contravention of the Cold War era arms treaty with the United States. Now, why would they do that? Eh? US intelligence officials understand that the Kremlin has secretly deployed a new medium-range missile, the prospect of which drew attention from the Obama administration in 2014, when it was still in a test phase. Mr. Obama's advisors had sought to stop the development of the SSC-X8 missile. It has since become operational and been moved from a test site in the country's southeast to an operational base. This is according to the New York Times. Another unit remains at the Kapustin Yar test site. The move presents a challenge to Mr. Trump's hopes of closer ties with President Putin, whom he has been seen as a potential partner in fighting ISIS. Both Democrats and Republicans have been critical of Mr. Trump's friendliness towards Mr. Putin, whose military program is a top concern for the US Department of Defense. And this is the sort of thing these missiles can do. In 2014, the Obama administration accused Mr. Putin of violating the terms of the INF when it emerged that Russia was testing the SSC-X8 missile. The INF bans ground-launched cruise missiles capable of traveling 300 to 3,400 miles. Okay? So why would they do that? Why rock the boat unless you have to? Or you can. I think it's more of a case that you can. I'm not quite sure in this statement I'm going to make, listeners, but I think these sort of missiles were banned between, this is sort of period of time it goes back to, between Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev in Iceland. I think that these are that was the treaty, but I'd have to look it up. But anyway, a Russian spy ship was also spotted yesterday 70 miles off the coast of Delaware in the Atlantic, the first such sighting since September 2015. Mr. Trump has promised to seek a deal with Mr. Putin that would very substantially reduce arms and also called for weapons to be increased. He tweeted in December, "Let it be an arms race. We will outmatch them at every pass and outlast them all." In a telephone conversation with Mr. Putin last month, President Trump is said to have denounced the nuclear arms reduction treaty negotiated by Obama, known as the New START, saying that it would have favoured Russia. The White House did not respond to a request for comment. So there you have it. Mr. Trump, what have you been up to? What have they got on you? How can they can roll out this missile and, well, have the confidence to do it? What has Mike Flynn been speaking to them about? That's what we want to know. What is it they might have, and I'm suggesting it, on you? You're listening to Judge Jim's Big Debate. Come and let us know. Join in the chat here and give us your views, if you've got one. will be interested to hear it. Well, really, that's Mr. Darling Donald done for a little while. Anyway, let's have a look. Yeah. Oh, okay, right. We'll leave it at that. Well, I'm confident that there'll be a Newsbreak story on that soon. Be an interesting one, and I think Private Eye might be the first one in there to get it. But anyway, I want to turn to this idiot called, or is he a nutter? I don't know. If he's a nutter, it should be a DJ on here and have about 400 slots in a week. And your producer's a small dog. On the front of The Guardian, it talks about new questions for Nut All on Hillsborough. UKIP leader admits he did not lose close personal friends in disaster. He goes on to say the UKIP leader, Paul Nuttall, is facing more questions about Hillsborough after being forced to admit that claims on his website about losing close friends in the disaster were false. In an interview on Liverpool's Radio City News yesterday, it was put to him that in 2012 he said on his website that he had lost close personal friends. Nuttall denied making the claim. When the presenter Dave Eason, who was at Hillsborough on the day of the disaster, showed him the evidence that the claim had been made on his website, Nuttall replied, "I haven't lost a close personal friend. I lost someone I know." I think that's probably a matter for resignation. Mocking the people of that city is just incredible, isn't it? Anyone that knows anything about Hillsborough, it was a tragic turn of events that should just simply have never have happened, and a lot of it was through police neglect, incompetence, and everything else, really, at that time. Absolutely incredible. Mr. Nuttall as well, it's reported by The Times, he's got a propensity for telling whoppers. Make a great politician, wouldn't he? Let's have a look here. And he's a member, he's the leader of UKIP, listeners, just in case you weren't... if you don't know who he is, he's taken over from Farage, who's now in competition with myself and LBC. What did he have to say? Something about, it says, according to the Times today, that he said that he had a PhD in as a doctor as well. So there you go, we have an habitual liar here who's been discredited and mocked. And well, he has mocked the city of Liverpool that has seen tragic events at Hillsborough. It's a matter for resignation, really, I think. UKIP, you need to get your act together and you need to get yourself a new leader. In fact, why don't you just dissolve and disappear? You've done nobody any favours at all. But we want to hear from you. That's my opinion. Out there, listeners, come on. Sun readers, white van man, people with small dogs, nutters, all of you, phone in. Skype in, let's have it. Come on, UKIP, the leader. Should he go after those remarks? We want to hear from you. It's over to you in the studio, Dave, for the music break.
Judge Jim's Big Debate on Trax FM. No thrill ever be like
but nothing there will be.
The night that I fell in love,
and I tender, even the best thing to happen to my life.
The night that I fell in love,
the stars light were in the
night that I fell in love
with you.
Luther Vandross and the Night I Fell in Love. You're listening to Judge James' Big Debate. We're live, we're happening. I'll be up at 8, and then you've got JJ, the DJ from 10. He's covering DJ Chris and the Soul House Sessions. He'll also be covering DJ Chris and the Soul House Sessions next Wednesday at 10. But yeah, let's go back over to Judge Jim. Judge, take it away.
Thank you, David. Yes, got the Utter Nutter up at 10 again. Blimey. Everywhere you look. Now have a look at this DJ roster again, I think. Right, okay, a couple of weeks ago, we weren't here last week because one of us was very ill. But the week before that, I think if you were tuned into the show, you'd remember me telling you about this stray Trident missile that was fired by a nuclear submarine in the Atlantic that was veering for Disneyland and had to be aborted. It wasn't really, it was actually heading for a target in West Africa, but nonetheless it had to be aborted and crashed into the sea. There's an article here well worth a mention in Private Eye, kind of like a follow-up article that's been leaked to them from someone. It says, Trident tested. I like it. Great headline. The fallout from last month's failed launch of a Royal Navy Trident D5 missile continues to undermine the government's fanciful belief that the UK's Trident missile submarines represent an independent nuclear deterrent. The errant missile was test-fired from HMS Vengeance on the 20th of June last year, while the sub was taking part in a US exercise off Cape Canaveral. Crucial to the exercise was the opening 4 days earlier of the US Strategic Weapons Systems Ashore, and that is SWSA facility at Canaveral, designed to test the new fire control launch and guidance systems being fitted to both US and UK D5 missiles. The fact that both HMS Vengeance and the new SWSA were both under test conditions explains why the UK government's opinion that the test was a success differs from the American view that it was not. Prior to launch on board Vengeance, everyone was fine for the everything was fine for the Brits. Indeed, Defence Secretary Michael Fallon told the Commons HMS Vengeance and her crew were successfully tested. Quite so, it was only after the US built D-5 left its US built missile tube, engaged its US manufacturer's guidance systems, and enabled its US design software that it all went, it says here, not me, this is what it says, they all went tits up. The missile was in test configuration carrying range safety devices, tracking systems and flight telemetry instruments provided by its manufacturer, Lockheed Martin. It was the kit that went wrong. The missile on board software detected a problem with telemetric directional data and revealed an unarmed US source. The missile was diverted into the ocean to self-destruct, an automatic procedure when missile electronics detect an anomaly. The phrase automatic procedure is key. Other earlier unsuccessful tests of the D-5 missile had been determined by command destruct, or in one case destroyed by range safety officers, according to US Congressional Research Service documents. The Vengeance test was ended automatically by Lockheed Martin software in the new US-made Mark VI Mode 1 missile guidance system produced by the US Charles Stark Draper Laboratory. The lab was paid $46 million as a contractor to the Strategic Systems Program in Washington, D.C., and $8 million by the Brits for its work and its part in the test. Clearly, once a missile leaves a submarine, it is no longer under any kind of UK control. So this is where the argument comes about, is it, do we actually have an independent nuclear deterrent in this country? So clearly, once a missile leaves a submarine, it is no longer under any kind of UK control, but entirely in the hands, not just of the US government, but the US defence companies. During a recent PR jolly on another Trident submarine, HMS Vigilant, the weapons engineer with his hand on the missile trigger, admitted to hacks that once the missile has left the submarine, there is no self-destruct button. Once it has gone from here, it is fire and forget, leaving the rest up to America and to fate. So there you go. Do we honestly have an independent nuclear terrorist country? And go back to the last year, the last summer, when the Commons was voting on whether to renew Trident or not. If they'd have known all of this, do you think they would have voted to renew it? That's the question, really. Those two. It's not hard. How do you feel that another country is in fact operating your nuclear deterrent? Well, so much so for good old Britain and standing alone in the world. We want to hear from you on that. Somewhat misled, weren't we, by the government last year? But don't worry, here on The Big Debate with the rest of us, Chas Summers and Rendell and David RB and even JJ the DJ, who's 50% of the station now, will hold these governments to account. You're listening to Judge Jim's Big Debate. If you've got a view about 40 missile equipment, then come into the chat room, join in the debate, or you can get hold of me on Twitter at This Is Jim Tracks FM. Or indeed, if you've got a comment on any previous subjects around Donald Trump and what was that conversation Mike Flynn was having with that Russian ambassador, it's over to you in London, Dave, for our music break.
Just a quick one, Judge. I'm just going to turn the argument upside down, because this is what the red tops always say, that Jeremy Corbyn, for example, wishes for Britain to not be able to defend itself against a nuclear attack, and that would allow Trident. I mean, is that necessarily true, that bold statement?
Let's all be honest. If there's a nuclear attack, as soon as you press that button, it's going to be probably much all over anyway, whether you can fire back or not. The Red Tops would turn it up the other way around. I'll give you an example. Last Wednesday at PMQs, Jeremy Corbyn, leader of the opposition, tore into Theresa May over all sorts of subjects, totally discredited her. But yet there's no report or mention of what he'd actually done. It was so misleading. It's no wonder why the public get misinformed. And of course, this is where this false news comes out. He took her apart on the text message conversation that happened between the government and Surrey County Council over, I think it was social care. Surrey County Council is one of the richest councils in the country, and probably got a lot of clout with the government as well. And he's absolutely annihilated her on that. It was actually reported in newspapers as well. But yeah, you don't hear about it, really. It doesn't go into any depth unless you're there watching Prime Minister's question time at that particular time. For Britain to defend itself, it's got to really have its own nuclear deterrent. And we don't have one. And I did learn from one MP that I managed to speak to, and he told me that we actually have to ask the Americans permission if we were to fire a missile off. So that gives you an idea. It's US-made missile. The missiles are US-made but maintained in the UK, but all the driving software and all the rest of it is all US-made, and it's proving to be unreliable. I wonder if it's as unreliable as that mid-range rocket that Vladimir Putin wheeled out yesterday. But we'll have to see, David. It's back over to you in London.
Well, thank you very much, Judge. Just on Britain flexing its muscles, let's look at the past. Southern Ireland, Northern Ireland failed. Kashmir, Pakistan, India failed. Persian Gulf failed. The hits go on and on and on. So if you need to flex your muscles, UK, you have to ask permission. That's terrible.
Contact Judge Jim's Big Debate live right now on Skype, Trax Big Debate, Twitter, this is Jim Trax FM, email thebigdebate@traxfm.org. Trax FM, wicked music and chats for wicked people.
Walks merrily down the street with the brim pool way down low. Ain't no sound but the sound of his feet. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip to the sound of the beat. Yeah. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Yeah. Hey, gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust. How do you think I'm gonna get along without you when you're gone? It took me for everything that I had and kicked me out of my own. Are you happy? Are you satisfied? How long can you stand the heat? Are you done with the bullets for reason? Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey, I'm gonna get to do. Another one bites the dust. Hey. We'll be right back. Another one busts the dust. Hey, hey. Another one busts the dust. Hey.
Queen, another one bites the dust. It's quite good information Joe just gave us about the UK being able to shoot its own missiles. I'll repeat that. The UK need permission to shoot its own missiles. So the ability for the UK to defend itself, and Jeremy Corbyn taking that right away, is not necessarily true. Not necessarily true. And do you know, I always believe the sun. Take it away, Judge.
Yeah, George Galloway told me that the UK does not have its own right in firing nuclear missiles. Why would he lie? So, yes, but that's, again, not reported in Red Tops, is it? Turning very quickly, the last 5 minutes of the show before I hand over to David RB. On the front of the Times, it's got tax cut for Amazon as high street shops suffer. Amazon will have business rates cut at most of its warehouses, while high street stores are forced to pay more. The American internet giant, which has faced allegations of tax avoidance and reported quarterly profits of $750 million this month, is expected to have the rateable value of some of its vast British premises reduced as part of an overhaul of taxes from April. And guess what? We'll be picking up the tab for this. Amazon prompted anger when it emerged in 2015 that it had paid £11.9 million in tax, whilst its Luxembourg unit took £5.3 billion of sales from British internet shoppers without being subject to UK levies. ASOS and Boohoo are among other online retailers forecasted to pay less or the same rates in warehouses in the north of England. I mean, some of it goes on to say, in Swansea, the rateable value of its warehouse has been cut from 2.2 million to 1.9 million. How can this be when there's other articles in the paper saying today that property prices are about to go through the roof again? You know, so it just beggars belief. And to be quite honest with you, you know what I do these days? If I want a particular piece of clothing, like a suit or a shirt made, I don't bother going to the high street. I don't bother with Amazon. I don't bother with any of these people. I go straight to the people that make it for them. And I'll tell you where, and you get an excellent piece of clothing as well. I go straight to India, straight to China, straight to Pakistan, on the internet, give them my measurements, and who'd have thought you're going to get made-to-measure clothes? I mean, they disappeared 150 years ago, but not out there. You go to them, and you say, this is my collar size, length of my arm, blah, blah, blah. All the rest of it, they come back with a price that's very fair. You cut out the likes of Amazon and you give it straight to the middle, well, not the middle man, the tailor, the skilled tailor with a proper quality cotton and wool, worsted wool in some cases, 140, sort of really good quality stuff, and you give the money direct to them. That's how I do it. And why play Amazon at their own game? Cut them out, use the internet, go straight to these people. I mean, I've never met any of my tailors yet. I have tailored clothes from around the world, and they have all arrived on time, and they have all fitted absolutely perfect. You know, just look at my Facebook page and look at how lovely I am. And by the way, I'm not thinning on top, but at the same time, I still have my sanity. But that's the way for these people. Don't buy their merchandise, go straight, look out there. You can go on Alibaba and all that, you'll find the tailors that mass produce these stuff for them. Go straight to them, you get great service. Anyway, look, that's enough of me. This is big. This is the old bloody knackered now. This is Judge Jim's Big Debate. You're listening to Tracks FM. I'm going to hand over to David RB because clearly I've had enough. Retire me. Put me out of grass. Thanks, Dave. It's over to you in the studio.
Judge Jim's Big Debate on Tracks FM.